Straight into Penny Wong and the debate over marriage equality, which is about to come to a head in federal parliament. The Senate will vote in the next 24 hours on the first of four bills legalising same-sex marriage. Advocates concede the numbers are not there to change the Marriage Act, but the final vote could be closer than first expected. Finance Minister Penny Wong is one of several cabinet ministers who supports equal marriage rights, and she will speak to the bill in the Senate later this morning. Penny Wong is in our Parliament House studio. To speak to her, our political editor, Alison Carabine.
Penny Wong, good morning.
Good to be with you.
The Marriage Amendment Bill won't pass. What then has been the point of this debate?
This is a very important debate. It's a very important discussion to be having, and I think the fact that so many people in the Australian community support what I and others in the Parliament are saying, the principle of equality, is a great thing. As you say, because Tony Abbott has chosen to ensure that the Liberal Party doesn't have a free vote, it would make that, it will mean that it's very difficult for this bill to pass. But, you know, sometimes you lose something and then you win on a subsequent occasion, and I've been in politics long enough to know that that's the case. So very important part of the national debate and continuing to press the agenda. And I think in the last year we've seen a lot of movement on this issue.
You'll speak to the bill in the Senate this morning. What does this mean to you on a personal level?
Well, I think for many Australians, not just for me, means something very important. It means...
But you're at the front line of this.
That's true, but what this is about, it's about equality, but it's also about the recognising the worth of our relationships. And the reason that there's so many Australians do care about this issue is because it's not only because it's about them, but it might be about their daughter or their son or their sister or their brother or their friend. And this is the reason why I think sentiment on this has shifted, is people do see in their lives the reality of the love and commitment in relationships around them.
Many politicians have very strong views on this question. Ron Boswell told the Senate yesterday that he, quote, cannot imagine a more savage attack on the family. You have a family, but not one that Ron Boswell would regard as traditional. How deep does that type of criticism cut?
Well, Senator Boswell sounded like he was talking in the 1950s. There were many aspects of his speech which were, frankly, quite prejudiced. Things like talking about the normalisation of homosexuality. Well, you know, we are normal, Ron, and we're here. And I think it is really unfortunate that for some people in this debate, that has become the level of the discussion.
And do you believe that marriage equality is inevitable, that even when the vote goes down, that momentum has been built up to such an extent that we will see same-sex marriage rights in this country?
Look, I do. I think I think that we might lose this vote, but we won't lose the argument, and we certainly won't lose in the medium term the campaign, because I think, as I said, the aspiration for equality is a very powerful one, and for many people this is about the people they care about most in the world. So we're not going to walk away from it.
How much is Julia Gillard to blame for this vote going down this week? You seconded the motion to change ALP policy platform to advocate marriage equality, but instead of changing the law in line with the platform, the Prime Minister opted for a conscience vote, which was always going to lose. And that's the same for all four bills. Isn't the real culprit therefore the Prime Minister and not Tony Abbott?
Well, look, I don't agree, and I think that the Prime Minister has demonstrated leadership on this issue within the party by recognising, despite the fact she has different views to mine, that people wanted to vote for equality. The person I think has most responsible for the fact that we're likely not to succeed on this occasion is Tony Abbott, who doesn't want the party of individual freedom, that is the Liberal Party, to actually have a free vote on this issue.
Penny Wong, in your capacity as Finance Minister, Barry O'Farrell wants changes to the GST to ease the squeeze on stressed state budgets. The government, your government, has ruled this out. Why is there no appetite to at least debate the issue from either the government or the opposition?
Well, because increasing the GST would not ease the squeeze on families, to use your phrase. And this is, you've got to have look to your values and your priorities in tax reform or in savings. And we don't believe as a Labor government that the way to deal with what are pretty difficult fiscal circumstances for all governments funds is to ask families who are already experiencing cost of living pressures to pay more.
But there is research by KPMG Econtech which shows not just higher GDP but higher standards of living for households if the GST rate was either increased or broadened. In its place, inefficient state taxes would be scrapped. As the Finance Minister, that must appeal to you.
Well, look, we'd like inefficient state taxes to be scrapped. The question is whether or not that can be done, and I don't believe that the way through that pardon me, is to simply sell families. They've got to pay the costs of tax reform.
But lifting the GST to 15% would generate an extra $25 billion for the states. If the states had more cash, there wouldn't be the need to cut jobs and services, as we are seeing in some states, including Queensland. Could reforming the GST save jobs and services?
Oh, look, I think all governments, including ours, have had to deal with revenue write-downs, have had to do with constrained fiscal environment. I mean, what we're seeing, though, particularly in Queensland, but also New South Wales and Victoria, is the Liberal approach to making a budget balance, which is to sack people and to cut frontline services. I mean, that's how they're proposing, that's how they're doing it, and it's been made very clear by members of Mr Abbott's front bench. That's how he would propose to do it.
But the Commonwealth is also, cutting jobs, about 3,000 this year. And we often hear the government boasting about the money it has saved over the past five budgets or so. I think it's about $130 billion.
That's right.
Isn't it a bit rich and even hypocritical for the government to be criticising the states?
But we've taken a very different approach. We've taken an approach which says your priority is non-staff savings, and if you look, we've found savings in travel, in ICT, in advertising. That's where we've looked for savings. The reality is the coalition governments, particularly in Queensland, and Joe Hockey's made it clear he'd take the same approach, says, well, the first thing we cut is jobs. Now, that's not the approach Labor government has taken. Yes, we've had to make hard decisions, but we've always sought to be responsible and fair when making those hard decisions. And we've certainly not said, you know what, we're going to tell people before an election the public service has nothing to fear, as Premier Newman did, and then come out and say, we're just going to sack 14,000 people.
It's 21 minutes to 8 on Radio National Breakfast. Our guest this morning is the Finance Minister Penny Wong. Minister, last week the Queensland government announced it was jacking up mining royalties by $1.6 billion over 4 years. Have you calculated how big a hole this will punch in the federal government's mining tax revenue?
First, on the royalty issue, I think it's important to understand why royalties are a bad thing. They're an inefficient tax, and they punish small and unprofitable or less profitable miners as much or more than they are levied on profitable miners. And that's why the mining industry doesn't like them. That's why we're seeking to not have royalties and to have the MRRT. And that's why we've seen people like the Queensland Resources Council say that these Queensland royalty increases will cost Queensland jobs. So it's not me saying that, it's the mining industry
saying
that.
And it will also cost Commonwealth revenue how much?
What we've said is on this issue, obviously we've asked the GST review to look at the ways in which we might discourage states from jacking up royalties, because it's not good for the industry and it's not good for jobs.
Have you decided yet how to claw the money back? Will it be either deducting GST payments or withholding infrastructure money?
Well, as I said, the Treasurer has referred this issue to the GST review panel, and we'll await their response.
This could hurt the budget surplus. Is that a correct assumption to make, Minister? And will you need to make more dramatic cuts to be sure of delivering that service, that surplus?
Well, you know, we remain committed to delivering a surplus. Of course, it is harder, particularly because of where commodity prices are, and the Treasurer's made that clear previously. But that remains the government's commitment for the reasons we've outlined. We think it's the right thing to do when you've got an economy that's growing, unemployment where it is, and inflation contained. I think it's important to remember we're in a very good position in this nation compared to most other countries, and we've grown nearly 11% since this government came to power. That's a good thing, but we've also got to look to the future, which is why we're investing in schools, education and the NBN.
Okay, Penny Wong, thanks very much for your time.
Good to be with you again.
And I hope that throat-clearing virus stays right up there, doesn't move to the Sydney studio. Thank you, Alison Carabine and Finance Minister Penny Wong at 18 to 8.